All right. The next item on the agenda is I'm going to pass it on to our interim executive director, Dan Siegel, and he will open up the public session.
Point of procedure.
Go ahead.
We have another challenge to the seating, which I would like to bring from WBAI. I mentioned at the beginning and deferred to the first one, but I think it's in order at this point.
Yeah, you are entitled to that. That's correct. That's correct. My oversight. All right. So let's go to the – currently the issue is WBAI.
I'll be glad to frame it if you like. Thank you.
Go ahead. Please say it. Okay.
The election at WBAI, as many of you know, has not yet been completed. The ballots are impounded until February 23rd, and as a result of a court case, the judge has not yet ruled on several aspects of it. So technically, this is not an extended election for lack of quorum. We don't know if there's a quorum. This is not a failed election quite yet, but that is an issue. The bylaws and Robert's Rules of Order and California Code all have opinions on the status of delegates under these conditions, and there's a conflict among these three. However, I'd like to make a point of order that the people sitting at this table as directors from WBAI were elected by delegates from BAI whose terms had already expired, and therefore we believe that they are sitting here illegally. The only directors who should be sitting here are those elected by delegates whose terms had not expired. I myself am the only one who was elected by the non-expired delegates as well as the expired boards, and which makes it a little bit awkward, but nevertheless, I'm bringing the motion on behalf of the unexpired delegates who consider ourselves the actual functioning board. Delegates whose terms have expired should not be permitted to be candidates for directors to the PNB, and this body should not seat those from BAI whose terms have expired or who have not been elected as delegates. We had hoped that the judge would address this yesterday, but he did not. And this is part of the court filing. He didn't rule on this, and the ruling may be postponed as long as February 23rd. He did rule on the substance of those claims. In the interim, the 12 continuing delegates elected in 2006 are today the only delegates authorized to meet in January 2008 and who have the authority to elect the new directors. They have done so, and they elected Kathy Davis, our staff representative, Mitchell Cohen, and Alex Steinberg and myself as listener directors to the PNB at their meeting on January 14th of 2008. I have minutes of that meeting, which I will be glad to give to the secretary and read them if you really force me to, but we do have minutes. That meeting also adopted a special rule that the election is provisional and that the proviso is that the delegates will serve as directors only until the 2007 election of delegates is resolved, which we hope will be after the February 23rd decision and the counting of the ballots and the certification of that election. So at which time the full number of 24 delegates will elect permanent directors to complete the one-year term. So I'm proposing that, in fact, we have only one, and if it's necessary to prove the point, I would move to recuse all four of us, including myself, although I consider myself legally elected.
Thank you. Before I proceed here, our foundation counsel has been pretty aware of this matter and would like his opinion on it.
With all due respect to Ms. Burden, my recommendation to the chair is to rule that her motion is out of order. I will explain why. And this is pretty complicated, so if please try to follow along so we won't have to do it several times. There was a court hearing yesterday. I'll work my way backwards. There was a court hearing on a lawsuit that was brought by several listener members of WBAI, including some who are members of the local station board. The result of the court hearing was to uphold Pacifica's position in this matter and to deny all relief requested by the plaintiffs, including the relief that Ms. Burden is now asking this board to provide.
Objection. I object to your...
Could you please not interrupt?
All right.
We're going to... Let me just say, we're going to have to conduct this meeting where people do not interrupt.
Thank you.
And I hope we can, all of us, restrain ourselves. The lawsuit was originally brought in November, and the lawsuit, as it was originally framed, was the lawsuit that asserted that certain members had not received their ballots and that requesting the court not to allow the votes to be counted at WBAI until everyone who was entitled had received a ballot. And the judge issued an order to that effect. And so the order that was issued back in November said, don't count the ballots, impound them, tape them up, and make sure that everyone, and I stress the word everyone, this is the judge's word, not mine, everyone who is entitled to vote be allowed to vote. When we received this lawsuit, there was consultation between myself, Casey Peters is the election supervisor, and we solicited comments from people at WBAI, and we took the following position in court. The one, we would not oppose the idea that everyone was allowed to vote. In fact, that was something that we could all agree on. And furthermore, we went to the court and said that there has been a very confusing chain of events at WBAI over the last couple of months. The result of that confusion being is that there's a good chance that many people who wanted to vote did not vote. So therefore, what we wanted the judge to do was allow us to proceed with the election, keep balloting open until February 23, and then we'd be allowed to count the vote. And that is precisely what the judge ordered yesterday. So that balloting, and I hope the word gets out, maybe this is one way to get it out, that people in the WBAI listener audience who are registered and who are qualified as voters as of August 2007 are allowed to vote. They have up until February 23 to vote. Then Casey Peters will count the ballots. And in the course of the lawsuit, other issues arose. The plaintiffs who brought the lawsuit disagreed with our position that everyone should be allowed to vote and instead took the position, essentially, that only they should be allowed to vote. Oh. Although the way they framed
it... Again, I object to the misstatement of facts.
Could you just...
I must register an objection. Sorry, I will complete it later, but as you speak...
You know...
I must say that.
I'm going to ask the chair...
Only they should be allowed to vote?
That's a misstatement.
Just a second here, please.
Later, thank you.
I would suggest that, you know, let's give each other courtesy and be nice to them. And if, when your time to speak, you know, you speak. And let others speak when they have their turn to speak. And if you don't, I think that this body will have to do something. And then we'll hit like heck to take any kind of punitive action of any kind. And I don't like to do that. And I think that it would be... You know, it'd be nice if you just honor the people. Thank you.
The position they took in the lawsuit was that only those persons who had requested replacement ballots as of November 15 and who hadn't received them be allowed to vote. Not other people be allowed to vote.
Right.
Okay. We took the position that the voting should be extended for two reasons. Okay. Number one is that Casey Peters, exercising his authority under the bylaws, had already extended the voter period to November 23. And the reason he did that was that he had delayed sending out the ballots for a week. And he did so in order to accommodate a listener member from BAI, Steve Brown, who wanted to send out a mailer prior to the voting. So Mr. Brown ultimately, and I won't go into all of that now, but there was a lot of negotiation with Mr. Brown about his mailer and concerns about its propriety in certain respects. But to make a long story short, he was allowed to send it out. And Casey, in order to make sure that people didn't vote before they got Mr. Brown's mailer, extended the voting to November 23. Well, prior to November 23, the group went into court and got this injunction. And the injunction was, you know, very widely publicized, as you would expect. And we took the position of Pacifica without really doing a survey, but that it's likely that people who wanted to vote decided not to vote because they heard about the injunction. So the concern, again, is not to take sides in the election, but to allow any Pacifica member who is eligible to vote, which seemed like a nice neutral principle that was one that promoted democracy. And that's the position we took in the lawsuit. And again, the plaintiffs opposed it because they claimed that there would be fraudulent voting. And they wanted to go through a process by which anybody who had not, and this really happened in court yesterday, anyone who had not requested a replacement ballot prior to November 15, who came forward and said they wanted to vote, would have to appear and be cross-examined as to the bona fides of their intention to vote prior to November 15th. And we took the position that this sounded a little bit like things that you heard about in Mississippi back in the 50s and early 60s, where people who wanted to vote had to go in and pay a tax and swear that their grandparents were whatever, all that kind of stuff, and thought that wasn't a good idea. And the judge agreed with us. So then the plaintiffs took the position that the WBAI LSB was illegal and asked the judge to enjoin any actions taken by the WBAI LSB, and because people from the illegal WBAI LSB might be participating in this meeting, to enjoin any actions taken by this board. The judge declined to do any of that. Now, the argument there was, which was an interesting argument, and it kind of, the stuff is all amusing intellectually, which I'm sure, Mike appreciates, was this, that under the bylaws, the people who were elected in 2004, whose terms expired because their 3 years were up and new people were supposed to be appointed or, selected and certified. So they took the position that, well, terms are up, end of story, so only the people who were elected in the class of 2006 should be allowed to be the LSB. And that's the group that Ms. Burden indicates elected its own set of national board members. We took the position that under our bylaws, the Pacifica bylaws, the LSB consists of 24 people. And under the interpretation that says you have 12 vacancies, the bylaws would be violated because you'd have an LSB of 12 people. That's number one. Number two, we said our bylaws incorporate Robert's Rules. Robert's Rules clearly indicates that when you have a committee, and LSBs, and this is important in this whole system of governance, LSBs are standing committees of this board. That's what they are. And under Robert's Rules, the members of a standing committee will continue to sit until their replacements are selected and sit. And there was an argument about whether Robert's Rules applied in a situation where delegates' terms are measured by dates, as our bylaws do. But we took the position that the date does not overrule the principle of having a full board, and that the date assumes that their replacements will have been elected and seated. When their replacements have not been elected and seated, they carry over. And then finally, we said that under the California Corporations Code, which, for those, again, who are new members, Pacifica is a California corporation. Sorry for the rest of you. But under California law, the directors of a nonprofit corporation continue to sit until their replacements are selected. And we said that although that provision doesn't apply explicitly to committees of the board, the intent of it, or following the thought behind it, would support our argument regarding the bylaws and Robert's Rules. So we took the position that the WBAI LSB Delegate Assembly, is alive and well and will continue to be alive and well until their replacements are chosen in the election, which will now end on February 23. And the judge, although he did not rule that we were right, declined to rule that we were wrong. In other words, when you go in on an injunction, the party seeking an injunction has a burden of showing the likelihood that they will prevail on the merits of the case and that they will suffer irreparable harm if the injunction is not issued. By declining to issue the injunction, the judge ruled that they are not likely to prevail on the merits of their case and that they are not suffering irreparable harm. So the fact that we got this ruling yesterday supports my advice to the chair to overrule Ms. Burden's objection.
Thank you. May I respond to that?
Thank you. And so on that basis, then.
At points of facts, I would like to respond to that. And I would like to ask further that I would give him at least as much time as Dan to respond and that this discussion be extended because it's a very large issue. There are very many issues and some misstatements of fact.
Right. Just a second here. Go ahead. What's the point of information?
Maybe it's not point of information.
Please speak into the mic so
I'm
we can
sorry.
Hear.
Sorry.
There's a motion on the floor to
the director needs to understand that everybody has a lot of things to say.
Okay. What's the point of information, Lisa?
Well, I'm asking a question. Never mind. I withdraw it.
Point of information. Okay. All right, go ahead. So what was it?
I would like to ask for at least 20 minutes for the entire discussion, and I'd like to have time to rebut much of what Dan has explained.
Well, it's not
a second to that, then we can continue
it's not,
quickly.
It's not a rebuttal so much as, you just state your case. And
all right, then I will explain some of his misstatements, if I may. Thank you.
All right, well, I'll give you a chance. Go ahead. For how long would that be?
Thank you. Well, I will go through as quickly as I can.
Okay.
Point of order,
thank you.
Thank you. Just a second. Just 1 second, hold on. Hold it. Just 1 second. I think from what I hear from our counsel and with the latest update from the court case here and the hearings that proceeded in that court case, the board that's presently constituted right here, the directors from New York, Bob Leder, Nia Badeco, Lisa Davis, and Carolyn Burden, that is legitimately and legally constituted board of directors at the present time, temporarily until the resolution of the election challenges that are in the court.
I'm making a motion to challenge that.
If you want to challenge that, that'd be challenged. Yeah, I'm going to call that motion out of order at the present time. And
I'm sorry, this is a very serious issue, sir.
I understand.
And in fact, the counsel has misstated the facts of the case, and which I would like a few minutes to demonstrate.
I think those legal challenges could be argued out in the courts. This is not a court.
I'm sorry, they were raised and they must be rebutted. I cannot allow that record to stand.
All we want to proceed here.
There have been some serious misstatements of
fact. Ms. Burden, all we want to do here, all I want to know, and the body is interested in, is whether the directors presently sitting here, if they are legitimately constituted board of directors from WBI area, temporarily pending the resolution and challenges in the courts. And my advice that I received from our foundation counsel, that is so. And so I'll, based on that proceeding, and if somebody want to, I'll call that out of order, and people want to challenge that, and then we can go ahead. Go ahead, Mike Martin.
I move we accept counsel's advice on this matter. And move
thank
on.
You.
Second.
Thank you.
Second.
So with that, we just proceed.
I would like to object to the ruling of the chair.
Okay.
And I would like object to it on a factual basis, and I'd like, I think out of common courtesy, when someone alleges mistakes of fact being that the body needs to hear those.
All right. So we have
time
constraints here. So let's
point of
is
order.
There any
point of order.
What's a point of order?
You ruled on her point of order and denied it. She's appealing your point of order.
Okay, and I'm going to
what's in front of us is a discussion of the appeal of the point of order.
She can state her case, and then I'll tell you why.
Thank you. I appreciate you waiting to hear both sides.
Point of order.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Point of order, Mr.
Go ahead.
There's a motion.
Just a second.
May I? Thank you. The one of the interpretations, point of order, I had the floor.
The maker of the motion spoke first. The counsel spoke. If she is allowed to make any further
comments, they should be strictly limited
right.
to whatever point of inconsistent fact that she thinks may have been,
thank you.
That that is within a limited period of time.
Thank you.
And let's.
And I would ask that that be 2 minutes.
I would ask that it be the equivalent to the amount of time given to the
point
of order. Thank you.
Point of order, Mr.
Is there any objection? Mike Martin?
You know, I made a motion to accept legal counsel's opinion. It was seconded. And it's subject to debate. So if Carolyn wants to respond to that, she's able to at this point. So
okay.
I think there should be a time limit. And if she wants to speak, but she can speak to
minutes.
The motion, which is the heart of what she's concerned about.
Okay. So
2 minutes.
Two minutes? All right. Go ahead, Carolyn. Go ahead. 2 minutes. Is that okay for the body?
Yes.
2 minutes? Limit this to conversation?
I would like
all right,
to
go ahead.
Move to extend, but I will continue.
2 minutes.
The interpretation of the original language that everyone is entitled to vote was, at the time, meant that the people entitled to vote were those who had turned in requests for replacement ballots. That was reinterpreted by the defendants and, I would say, distorted. The original legal people entitled to vote were all of those who had requested a replacement ballot. There was no confusion about the deadline. The confusion lay in the fact that people didn't want to vote and that some people thought that their friends had not had enough time to vote. And so they moved to extend the ballot for that reason. The question that the idea that the it was likely, as counsel has said, that it was people didn't vote because they were confused was unwarranted by information or facts. We have there are always a few people confused, but not a great many. The question of asking people to say whether or not they had gotten an original ballot and thrown it away and now wanted a second one, that was a valid question because many people just didn't bother to vote. And then the question was how to determine if they had actually had a shot at it and now wanted a second bite of the apple. So that is a question. But I'm particularly upset about the statement that the judge's failure to rule was in any way a vindication of the defendants. The judge took great pains to point out that he is going in for surgery next week and that this had nothing. He issued the restraining order on the basis of the merits of the original plaintiff's order. And in fact, he declined because he had not had time to read the arguments. And he wanted time to do that. And he was extremely busy, took great pains to explain that to us. So to claim that his ruling was in any way a vindication is a serious distortion of everything the judge said. The judge declined to rule for reasons that had nothing to do with the merits because he admitted that he had nothing to say about the merits yet.
Thank you very much. And now we go. Unless we want to extend time.
I would like to extend for 1 more minute. I have one more point to make.
Wait a second.
We have somebody
just
else
second
on
here.
Staff.
Is there a motion to extend time on this matter? No motion
so
to extend?
Moved.
Yes, second.
Okay. How much? How long?
2 minutes.
Grace Aaron?
4 minutes.
Okay, motion to extend time for 4 minutes. Any second to that?
Second.
Any objection to extending time for 4 minutes?
I object.
Object. All right. So let's take all those who...
Point of information. Is this 4 minutes for the entire debate or four
entire
minutes for
debate
one
on
speaker?
This, on this matter.
I will only need one or
entire
two.
Entire debate
mm-hmm.
this on this matter.
That's insufficient.
Are duly constituted board members here or not. You know, the legal counsel said that it is, and so all matter here will be decided in 4 minutes. So all those who are in favor of limiting debates to next 4 minutes, please raise your hands.
Only 4 minutes.
Limit 4 minutes.
Was it extending for 4 minutes?
Well, extending time for 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What? Are we voting?
Extending time for 4 minutes.
Just extend time for 4 minutes.
Six. Those opposed to extending time for 4 minutes.
Point of order.
Just a second here. Take my vote. So it takes 2/3 to
point of order.
Extend time, so time is not extended, so we immediately go to the vote.
Point of order. There was never a vote by this body to set a time limit for this. You merely suggested that she had 2 minutes to speak. This board did not decide.
I asked the board.
This board did not decide.
Mr. Ritter, I asked the board if there's any objection to extending time for 2 minutes so that Ms. Burden could speak her case. And she did that.
To her. The issue is a different issue. I never set a time limit for that.
I move to extend time for 10 minutes on this issue.
There's a motion. There's a motion on the floor.
I have a motion to accept legal counsel's opinion. It's been accepted. I call a question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The question has been called. Is there any objection to ending debate?
Yes.
All right. Those who are opposed to closing debate on this matter.
Five.
Those who want to close debate on this matter.
Wait a minute. Say it again.
Those who want to close debate on this matter.
No more debate. No more debate.
yes. No stifle debate. Debate at all counts. Stifle debate.
Debate is closed. So we go immediately to the vote.
Point of information.
And
I need some information in order to be able to vote this substantively.
Okay, then look at.
I read in the bylaws, it says that if no quorum of ballots is obtained by the extended date, then those delegates whose terms would have expired upon the election shall remain in office,
right now,
which would seem to imply that the people who are seated on the board are actually entitled to be seated on the board, even though
they're.
Is there anything, my point of information is there anything in our bylaws that says that that is not so? Or is there anything in the legal situation in California that says it is not so?
That's not relevant here.
It's the substance of the vote.
That I'm going to call point of order, or I'm going to overrule that.
I would like to answer that if that's possible.
All right. So we immediately, unless is there any objection to adopting our counsel's advice and to the fact that the currently represented WBAI Board of Directors sitting on this table here temporarily until the resolution of the court case are legitimately done here, and they'll be seated at this meeting.
I would call for a roll call vote on that, please.
Okay.
I would call for a roll call vote, please.
All right, so those who are in favor of all the directors here, please, as we go along here, just state your name and say yes or no.
Yoshi Yamanaka, yes.
Mike Martin, yes.
Margaret Prescott, yes. Ifeah Wangaza, yes.
H. Bird, yes.
Ambrose Lane, yes.
Bob Lederer, yes.
Nia Bediako, yes.
Excuse me, I'm
Lisa
sorry.
Davis, yes.
Rob Robinson, yes.
Wendy Schrell, yes.
People involved in this
please,
should not properly
yes no.
be voting.
Please,
I'm sorry, four people should be recused, including
please,
myself.
Just,
so please deny those three yes votes.
Point of order.
Just say yes or no. Just
thank
yes or no.
You.
Mine is no, but there are illegal
okay,
votes.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Next. What? Grace?
I abstain.
Okay.
Joe Gonzalez, yes.
Evelyn Bethune, yes.
George Ryder, I abstain.
Jack Van Aken, yes.
Sherry Gendelman, yes.
Bonnie Simmons, yes.
Thank you very much. And the chair, all votes have it.